This show furnished by Sid Levine.
Hello, everybody. It's Sid Levine, and this is the Sid Levine Show. We are so happy to be broadcasting today between 2 and 3. Usually, we're on the air between 6 and 7 every Sunday night, which you should all listen to because we do one fantastic show for you. This is going to be an incredible show that we have as well today. First of all, I want to say that I want to wish everybody a very, very, very happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, 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 gobble.
Oh, Sid, do that again.
Gobble, 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 gobble. And I hope that everybody has a fantastic turkey day and relaxes and takes it easy and just enjoys the day with their family and friends. And today, the show that we have is amazing. I want to introduce everybody. We have Luis Gonzalez.
Thanks, Abe, for having me here. And also, hello to all the listeners. And then happy to be here with you guys today.
All right. Luis is a fantastic actor and also an amazing, legendary financial advisor. And then we have Bob Gebert. Bob Gebert. How you doing, Bob?
Great, Sid. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much. Bob is an amazing actor. What was the last thing you booked, Bob?
Last I did an episode of Reverie.
Reverie, yes. Okay. And Bob is an amazing actor, but he's also a fantastic magician.
Thank you. Yes.
He's going to make all of us disappear at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. There you go.
And then we have Vera. We have Vera, and it's Mahajan.
Yes, exactly.
Vera is new to acting, but she is an amazing, courageous woman with an incredible story to tell. She's an amazing author, and she's just a great person. I'm honored to have her on the show to talk to all of us about everything. And I have the amazing, incredible, beautiful, scrumptious, delectable.
That's a new one this week.
Yeah. Liz Fuller. How you doing, Liz?
I'm good, Sid. I was just telling everybody before we came on air, I'm struggling with my throat, like allergies. I don't know. Yeah. You were saying it's that season?
Yeah, well, you know, it goes from summer to fall and then from fall to winter. And every time there's a change of season, you know, there's the wind, the pollen, all that stuff can get to you.
Yeah, obviously I was acclimatizing, I think, to America. It's got to me. I've become affected, right?
Oh, you're really going to, yeah. This is good, though. Once you get this, then you're like, initiated.
That's true. I mean, last night I totally lost my voice, Sid. I wouldn't have been able to come in.
Really? Was that bad?
Yeah, it was.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I never have lost my voice. Anyways, and also, doing the live stream on Facebook, we have Marissa Edwards. Hi, Marissa. All right. And where are you, Josh? We have Josh right here. What's your last name, Josh?
Pacana.
Josh Pacana. Okay. All right. So here we are. Let's start with you, Luis.
Yes, sir.
Luis is also, I want to say, is a great, great guy. Luis, I'm going to give you a hypothetical situation, and you tell me what to do here.
Sure.
All right. I'm dead broke. I have no money. I live from day to day. I live from happy hour to happy hour. And all of a sudden, I audition for a series.
Right.
I get a callback. I screen test, and I book a pilot.
Amazing.
Then the pilot gets sold, and there's going to be 22 paychecks that are huge, at least at 30 grand a paycheck. What do I do? I don't ever want to be broke again. And I come to you. What advice would you give me?
The best thing, the first thing will be to sit down and create a budget for yourself, right? That's number one. Put down all your expenses, right? And then also, from rent to gas to car bills, all that stuff. And then also within that budget, put some money for saving and also retirement, right? Now, you're going to be getting a lot of money over the next couple of months. At the end of the year, you're going to get a nice tax bill, right? So the most important thing is to see how you can avoid that big tax bill.
What about incorporating yourself? Would that help?
Exactly. Exactly. So that'd be the first thing, to incorporate yourself so you can write a lot of that stuff off, right? Whether you're going out to dinner, whether you're going out, you know, driving your car to the set, whether a lot of stuff that you can write off. So the best thing to do is hire a good accountant, right? Somebody that's going to tell you what steps to take to make sure that you're running your business in the correct way. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you know, get a financial planner involved. Let them know what's going on. Best thing to do is walk to your financial institution and ask for a financial planner. Let them know what you got going on and what's going to be happening over the next couple months, and tell them to help you set up a plan that's going to help you, one, save money, and second, you know, make sure you avoid a big tax bill at the end of the year.
Okay, let me ask you. I don't ever want to live in an apartment again. And here I am, I've got money coming in, yet an actor's income, there's no security.
Right.
Show could get canceled. Anything can happen. I want to buy a house. Is that feasible? Is it possible? Or is it something you would advise against?
You know, especially going back to the scenario, I wouldn't be something I recommend right away, right? Because to buy a house, all the financial institutions are looking for three things, right? Credit history, and then they want income of at least 2 years and at least 20% of down payment, right? So that way, those are three things. So if you don't have those three things, you know, maybe you should start planning to get those three things. So that'd be the best thing. So you might have to rent for a little bit longer, right? And then just put money away so you can have that 20% down when you're ready. Mm-hmm. Or at least have that 2 year of history, whether it's good credit history or good employment history or income history. Mm. Because those are the three things that they're going to look at.
What's your credit? What should your credit score be if you're going to buy a house?
To buy a house, I mean, you want to be anywhere. What I tell people all the time is you want to be anywhere between 680 and above, right? 680 and above. The good thing about having good credit is that you have the negotiating power on your side, right? So when you have good credit, you can go to different financial institutions and you can say, listen, I know I'm a prime borrower, so I deserve that 3%. Whether if you don't have good credit score, the bank is going to say, well, listen, you don't have a good credit score, so the best thing we can offer you is a 7, 8, 9%. Mm. So obviously the best tool that you can have is to have a good credit score, because that way you can demand what kind of interest rate you want to pay.
Louis, do you know the history of the credit score? I mean, I'm British, so I came to the country 6.5 years ago with absolutely no credit. I must have turned up as a big fat zero when I first arrived here, right? So obviously I had to build credit from nothing. How does the credit system work in America? Do you have any of that history of why it's like around the 700 number?
It's all based in the amount. So credit, they look at what they call the three C's of credit, right? Credit character, they're flying away from me right now, but obviously you build credit by opening credit lines, right? Mm-hmm. You pay on time, and you make sure that you're not using the full amount of your line. So basically you're creating a credit character. So the bank is going to look at it as how many lines of credit you have or how many loans you have in the history of your credit. And based on that, they're going to say, okay, one of the C's is capacity. How much capacity does this person have to borrow?
Okay, so obviously when I was new in this country, was I a zero or would I be like a 900 or whatever the top number is?
No, it would be nothing, because obviously you have no history. So the first thing the bank is going to do is going to give you a chance to start creating history. Some banks offer secure line of credits where you have to put your own money.
So you have to, and you're encouraged to open credit cards and bank loans. And if you don't have those things, you're seen as, even if you work off debit cards or you have money abroad, you're seen as a potentially a risk if you don't have credit cards.
Exactly.
Correct?
Exactly.
Okay, so there is such a thing in the financial world as having good credit, and you should be encouraged to have a credit card, and you should maybe lease or rent a car so that you're building your credit history, right?
Exactly, exactly. So I always tell customers all the time, I said, the best thing you can do is work with the bank's money, right? Not your own money. So the credit
cards. That sounds good. We like working with other people's money, Sid,
oh, yeah,
right?
Yes.
Could always do that.
So very that's good. How the credit card system works. You know, if you have a credit card, you know, all the banks are fighting for you, and they give you all kind of rewards, right? Some of them give you no foreign transaction fees. Some of the ones give you 3 points when you spend in certain restaurants or certain airlines and all that stuff. And they give you that 30-day window to pay the full balance, and they're going to reward you for it, right? They're not going to charge you any interest. And then on top of that, they're going to, hey, we're going to throw some rewards on top of that.
Let's talk about the rewards card. Sid, I'm fascinated, and Louis, I'm fascinated by, you know, I see actresses and actors on TV all the time in America with credit cards. And take this credit card out because you're going to get double miles and air miles, and you'll be able to fly here and do this. Are you, Louis, do you kind of know what every credit card company is offering? Like, what's in your wallet? In fact, I think that's the tagline, right? Like, Louis, what is in your wallet? If you're like our financial expert in here today, I want to learn as much as I can from you.
I have two credit cards that I use and that I keep in my wallet. One is Capital One card, which I had since I was like maybe 18.
So that is the company I was talking about, I think.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I got it when I was 18 in college, and maybe it was like $500. And now, you know, over a period, my limit is 20 grand. Do I need 20 grand in the credit limit? No, I don't. But it's just what, over time, what they offered to me. So, and then another one for the rewards that I use a lot, because I do travel abroad too when I go to, my family's from Colombia, so I go down there. I used to chase Sapphire, which is, for me, I think it has one of the big rewards point system that they have, and no foreign transactions fee. So for me, that's a huge thing, because if I use my debit card or any other card, I have to pay 3% on top of whatever I'm spending. Mm.
Okay, so what are the best rewards that you can get off these credit cards? Like, what should we be? You know, I'm with HSBC, and I've always been with them because, one, my dad used to work for them, and then secondly, when you travel and move from the United Kingdom to here, I could just move money into an American account, right? So I've stayed with them and stayed loyal. And they have this system with rewards, but I've never used it. I don't even, you know, when I open the envelope with that, I just toss that in the bin. So what kind of rewards should we be maxing and appreciating and getting?
No, I mean, I tell people all the time, if you're using your debit card to make your everyday purchases, right, use the credit card. The biggest thing is to be disciplined, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody, you know, if we were all disciplined, this world would be a better place. But the discipline of making sure that you pay that full amount when you get that credit card bill.
But that you can actually set that up as a direct debit coming out of your debit to your credit, right? Which is what I've done. So if I do use my credit card, it pays off. But I don't know. I've just never taken, Sid, of you, do you ever take advantage of the rewards from credit cards?
No.
I don't even look at that stuff, but I feel like Louis does, and he knows all this stuff, which is why I was kind of like.
Is, in your opinion, is an actor a bad risk at a bank?
They're a bad risk at most things, aren't they?
No, it's not a bad risk, the actor, right? Because if you look at it, the actor is the corporation, right? So it's a business. So it's just like any other business owner, right? If you have a car shop and you're not selling any cars or creating any revenue, you know, the bank is not going to lend you any money or facilitate any funds that you might need to grow your business.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing for an actor. If an actor is somebody that's working and is generating revenue and it has an income history, and he needs maybe a credit line or maybe a house loan or something like that, or wants to get financing for a project, as long as he has the history, the bank is going to look at it like any other type of business.
I just want to say that in the old days, all you needed, because people that were self-employed, they wrote a lot of, you know, expenses off. So their debt-to-income ratio didn't look great.
Right.
But in the old days, and this was, I think, below 2006 and under, if you had 20%, you could buy a house. They didn't care what your credit score was. They didn't care what your tax returns were. All they cared about was that 20%. So if you bought a home for $200,000 in those days and you had $40,000, anybody could get a house.
Yeah, the 2 year looking into your books to get a mortgage in this country as an actor, that's tough, isn't it, Sid? Because, yes, you know, you may have a really good 8 month run, right? So you have a good tax year. But the next year, what if you don't as an actor? I'm shocked by that, actually. I thought in America it would be a lot easier. Like, I thought it would be like 3 or 4 months see your bank statement.
It's tough today because people took advantage of, you know, the banks were just giving people 125% equity in their home above what it was worth, and people couldn't make the payments. So they would try to buy another house and try to flip houses, and it just got all screwed up. So the banks got in trouble with the feds, and now they stopped it. I forget what the law is, Dowd something.
Oh, I can't remember. Yeah,
that was passed
right now.
So that you would have to show your tax returns of 2 years, and you would have to have a certain credit score, which I guess every bank is different with that, but it's pretty high. Mm. And if you're an actor, I'm just guessing here, it's higher than the average guy that is working in an auto body place or wherever, that's in business for himself, if he's washing cars or detailing or whatever. Right. Actors, it's not easy to get loans.
Yeah, just the classification of the employment type, it's what makes it, you know, to the bank to look at like a risky deal, you know. Obviously, this industry is probably one of the few industries that you can, you know, be broke 1 year and then be really well off the next year.
Right.
So as that can it can be the other way around too.
Right.
So yeah, it does. It's a lot harder when you're, you know, not an established actor or you don't have the funds that, you know, to say.
So let me ask you, Louis, not to get off the subject here. You're into acting. You love it. You're at where are you studying?
I'm actually two places right now. I'm at the Beverly Hills Playhouse and also at the Frida Kahlo Theater, which is mainly just doing stuff in Spanish.
Do you love it?
I tell you, you know, one of the things that I turned out when I came into this town, I wanted to work, you know, behind the cameras and the production side. And then I got into start doing acting and I was like, wow, this is more of the stuff that I want to do.
That's great.
So I'm having a great time.
Let me ask you, Bob.
Yes.
Bob Gebert.
Yeah.
Just out of coincidence here, you guys actually study at the same school.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, just coincidence.
It's a great place.
So you've been an actor for how many years?
Well, I actually started when I was 16.
Wow. Okay. Well, I want to ask you how many years.
It's been a few years. Yeah.
And you're a magician. And how long have you been a magician?
Well, I actually started doing magic, and that led to me acting.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I kept reading when I was 16. I kept reading about magicians weren't real magicians. They were actors playing the role of a magician. And so that led me into studying theater, and that kind of started the whole journey on the acting crusade.
And was that in Los Angeles?
No, I was at that point. I was in Houston.
Houston.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And magicians, as far as magicians go, I think they're fascinating. It's incredible. Yeah. And you work at the Magic Castle.
Yes, I perform there. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who is your idol as far as magicians go?
Wow, that's a great question. Lance Burton, certainly, when he had his big thing going on in Vegas. He was
the guy. Yeah.
He was the guy.
What about David Copperfield?
Oh, Copperfield's amazing, yes. And he's been at it for so long and survived so many other magicians. And
he's still doing Vegas, isn't he?
He sure is. Sure. Yeah. And he's just killing it. I mean, he does something crazy, like 30 shows a week still.
Wow. He makes airplanes disappear.
He does. He does.
The audience disappears.
Claudia Schiffer disappears. Right.
You wake up and you're in the lobby or something, you know?
he loves magic and he just loves magicians and he is so supportive of the community and he's just fantastic. And he's very well respected in the community as well.
And
he's got this amazing museum as well, that he invites sort of select members of select magicians to come see. It's a private museum, but it is. I've seen pictures of it. I haven't been there myself.
What about Houdini, the old legend Houdini?
Yes, yeah. He's kind of, when you mention magic, he's the person people think of.
Do you do that type where they stick you in a treasure chest and bury you in the ground and then you get out?
No, not necessarily. when I was a teenager and in early college, I was doing big illusions and things. Now that's not my specialty, but I think we all sort of go through that phase of wanting to do these big things.
Did
on
you ever
stage.
Do a magic act that just didn't work out? And hey. Everybody went, oh, no.
I would like to say that's never happened, but I don't know a magician on the planet that hasn't happened to.
Really?
I've heard great stories about Copperfield. Stuff goes wrong all the time. It's live theater. That's all there is to it. And in addition to it being live theater, unlike a play, you're so reliant on your props. And so if a prop goes wrong, you know, you're left standing on stage naked. And how you get out of that is always what's so interesting to other magicians.
Does it help you acting-wise, being a magician?
Absolutely. I'm also a writer. I consider myself very much of a storyteller, and I couldn't imagine doing just one of these three things, writing, magic, and acting. And at this point, I've been doing it for so long, I really feel like I'm doing all three of them at a very high level. And they all kind of meld in different ways. The magic act that I'm doing now is so different from what anybody else is doing because it's so informed by both the writing and the acting. And I love bringing my artistic creativity to what I'm doing with magic. Mm-hmm. One of my frustrations with a lot of magicians is they tend to just do other people's tricks.
Really?
And rely on just the effect as opposed to the presentation.
So they steal other, just like comics, they steal other people's tricks?
Yes, but the difference is in magic, it's not really stealing. It's learning from trying to advance and build on is kind of what you try to do with an effect.
Do you ever saw anybody in half?
I used to,
really?
But again, that's not. I haven't done that in a long time.
What's your specialty?
It's what's called parlor magic. It's right smack in the middle of close up, which again I used to do, but don't do anymore at all. And large stage magic. As an example, what I'm doing now is this act I created for the Magic Castle. I've been doing there for a couple of years. And again, I only perform there a week at a time, a couple of times a year, where I play a development executive at a major Hollywood film studio. And the whole act is as if this guy is so good at his job that he's predicting the trends, the movie trends, the audience comes up with before they can even think of it. So it almost becomes mentalism. But I don't do it as reading minds. I do it as predicting the trends the audience is coming up with.
You don't have a trick you could show us.
I wish I did, but no. Again, the stuff that I do is kind of
it disappears.
it's more stage stuff. I wish I was the kind of magician who could pull out a deck of cards and do tricks, but I don't do any cards. I stay away from that completely.
But you could get people to lose weight.
I believe that would be the first thing I'd work on.
Oh, that'd be a line on the block. We'd all be joining that one.
Exactly.
What do you think about how Hollywood covers magic? I mean, one of my favorite films that I laugh at is The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, right?
So
I love that. Steve Carell.
Really.
And, I mean, what, do you love that film?
I love that film, yes. What I think, though, has been underdeveloped in magic, or underdeveloped in Hollywood, is a realistic portrayal of what a day-to-day magician's life is like, what a working magician is. What the perspective, how we view magicians as an audience is very different from the reality of what it is to be a magician. And I don't really think that's ever been explored in a fascinating way. Usually they focus on the glossy aspect of magic or add mysticism to it sort of thing, as if the magic is real.
It's not.
Exactly.
What?
What?
Yeah, what? No. It's all tricks.
Well, and
it's
Father Christmas, tricks. Isn't it? Yeah, what?
Exactly.
Gobble gobble?
Yeah, gobble gobble.
So the Magic Castle, I always wonder whether, you know how with comedians,
I gotta take a break. Okay, yeah. We'll be right back. Sid Levine, The Sid Levine Show, 790 KABC.
What makes a holiday card unforgettable? Personality. And no one makes it easier or more affordable to create a holiday card full of personality than Vistaprint. Right now, get 50% off all custom holiday cards. That means 30 cards start at less than $15. With hundreds of stunning designs, your personality will shine through with every card you send. Just go to Vistaprint.com today and enter the promo code HOLIDAY to get 50% off all custom holiday cards. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code HOLIDAY.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
What makes a holiday card unforgettable? Personality. And no one makes it easier or more affordable to create a holiday card full of personality than Vistaprint. Right now, get 50% off all custom holiday cards. That means 30 cards start at less than $15. With hundreds of stunning designs, your personality will shine through with every card you send. Just go to Vistaprint.com today and enter the promo code HOLIDAY to get 50% off all custom holiday cards. That's Vistaprint.com. Promo code HOLIDAY.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. A unity march took place in Washington, D.C. this afternoon to raise awareness about natural disaster recovery in Puerto Rico. Correspondent Ryan Nobles is at the Lincoln Memorial.
They want to remind the folks here in Washington that Puerto Rico is part of the United States. It deserves the same level of attention, and they're going to keep that fight up as long as it takes for Puerto Rico to get back to normal.
And California Democratic Congresswoman Jackie Spears says that new legislation she is sponsoring will make sure that sexual harassment complaints are taken seriously and that the victim will not be intimidated to file a complaint.
There's a 1 month period where you're counseled. There's another month where you go through mandatory mediation and you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement at the front end. And then you have to have a month of cooling off period. I mean, that is truly ridiculous.
She appeared on CBS's Face the Nation. KABC SoCal weather, the rest of the day will be mostly sunny with most highs in the 70s. More news coming up and continuous coverage on KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming. Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Epics is the home of big Hollywood movies, comedy specials, and exclusive original series, including the return of critically acclaimed spy thriller, Berlin Station. Shred the truth, sell the lies, in the TV series hailed as an exhilarating thrill ride, filled with nonstop action, salacious secrets, and a stellar cast. Berlin Station, a new Epics original series with Ashley Judd, Richard Armitage, and Kiki Palmer. Watch Sundays, 9, 8 Central, only on Epics, or watch free episodes now at epics.com.
The following is based on a true story.
Richard, this can't be happening. Friends are coming over this evening and the sink is clogged.
Okay, let me try the hose down the trap trick.
Still backing up.
Maybe if I plunge the sink.
No bueno.
Great, now what?
Look, a Mike Diamond truck. Go flag him down.
Wait, smell good plumber. I need help.
Unfortunately, I'm on another job. Call 1-800-446-MIKE. They'll get someone out quick.
Wow, that was quick.
That was a severe clog, Richard. But you're unclogged now.
You unclogged our drain and saved our party for $99. You're great. You smell great. I love you guys.
You'll find more stories like this one at MikeDiamond.com. Contractor license number 399-170.
I'm Mike Diamond. I guarantee my plumbers will show up on time and unclog your drain for $99.
Help. I need somebody. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. Are you ready? This weekend on House Smarts Radio, we're talking to an expert that's going to give us tips on hosting an effortless and delicious Thanksgiving dinner. Cook the perfect turkey, maximize your fridge space, and keep those leftovers fresh as long as you can. Find out more with me, Lou Manfredini, this Saturday on House Smarts Radio live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
It's order pickup time all the time at Target. So, here's your cozy up on the couch with a cup of hot cocoa to check things off your ever-growing wish list at Target.com and have it waiting for you at your Target store. Guide to saving big this holiday season. Beat the crowds and skip the lines, you savvy savers. Order pickup is the quickest Target run you're ever going to make. Get in, get out, and go on your Merry Christmas way. Order online at Target.com and pick up in store. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
The Home Depot serving up holiday treats in the kitchen. Up to 40% off appliance special buys and 12 months financing on appliance purchases of $299 or more. Like the Samsung stainless steel gas range, Black Friday price at just $598. With five burners, removable griddle, convection cooking, and almost unlimited possibilities. Our lowest prices of the year, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, see store for details. Credit offer valid through November 22nd, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. The Home Depot serving up holiday treats in the kitchen. Up to 40% off appliance special buys and 12 months financing on appliance purchases of $299 or more. Like the Samsung stainless steel gas range, Black Friday price at just $598. With five burners, removable griddle, convection cooking, and almost unlimited possibilities. Our lowest prices of the year, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, see store for details. Credit offer valid through November 22nd, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Hello, everybody. It's Sid Levine, The Sid Levine Show. Welcome back. Here we are with the second half of The Sid Levine Show. I want to introduce Vera. gobble. Vera Mahajan.
Yes.
Vera, I got the last name and not the first name.
I know.
Okay. All right. What a courageous woman you are.
Thank you.
You are an excellent actress. But even more of a courageous woman of what you have been through in your life and an author and where you are right now. Vera, why don't you give us a capsule of what your life has been like the last 30 years?
Last 30 years. Well, that's where I learned my acting.
Okay.
You had to be an actor every day pretty much because there is a life that you live and then there's a life that people know that you live. And it's not like you don't live that life, but you have to leave the home life sometimes behind and become this other person and live out in the world. And which I mean is some days we had a horrible day at home and we literally would everybody say, okay, we got to go and you get ready and go actually dance at a party or run a business. And nobody knew what was going on.
Behind closed doors.
Huh? Yep. That's why people, I guess, they stay
lives.
Behind. Yes. And you learn how to compartmentalize. And also this attitude of, okay, a part of me is having a hard time, but why would I lose the other part that I can actually enjoy and flourish and prosper? Some people carry this throughout in everything and they whine and they complain and they can't keep friends because nobody really wants to meet and talk about your sad story if you're at a party. And also it was like a therapy. I love to dance and I would just go to party and be the center of attraction and be the party girl and dance. And all four of us, actually my ex and me and my children, we all love to dance and nobody could tell. We would even dance together. We're dancing with everybody. And then the party shuts down and come back to what the reality at home was.
Sometimes. What was the reality at home?
Well, physical time, I would say, and I used to tell people before the divorce started that 80% of the time we are actually pretty good. And we were doing well financially. Everybody's educated. We have a business. We have a huge home and kids are going to private schools. And I was correct when I said 80% of the time we were actually living large and we were good. But it's that other 20%. It was so bad some days that you didn't want to live. And then the fear of that and the sadness of that, that carries through because you don't know when that is going to come any minute. Anytime. So you live in the fear of that,
and
not
that is
only
domestic.
That's domestic abuse. Violence and abuse. And I never called it abuse. And that's what most people do. They don't call it abuse until you give it the name, what it is. And that's what I talk about in my book. If you call it anger, you deal it with anger. If you call his drinks, you deal with that little thing. You give it little names, a little word to handle it in a little way. But when you call it abuse, now you really got to deal with it. And you can't handle it. You know I got to do something about it and get out of it or try to change it. And that's what you have to call what it is.
And so, Vera, I'm looking at your book. For the listeners, it's called Unreported. It's a number one bestseller about domestic abuse. So are you saying that if a woman is in or a man is in a domestic abusive relationship, there's a period of time where the person's almost in shock and doesn't really want to be realistic and really accept what's going on and perhaps is in denial. So stage one is actually putting the label on it and saying this is abuse. And then you're almost realizing and accepting there is a problem.
It's not only denial. Denial would be if you know and you say, no, it's not me. It's not that. It's the unawareness. You're not even aware what this is. You just deal with those little things because What do you call abuse? You know, some people, and I had a girl in this book who I interviewed, and she was being raped by her husband every day. And then that's what her reality was. And she would literally said she would go out of her body, had to leave her body to just be able to deal with that. And then the abuse got so bad that the husband, who wasn't even satisfied with that. Now he wanted her to participate in bringing other friends he was going to bring, and he just would be part of this or just watch it. And so that was her abuse. And when I interviewed her, she was shocked that I didn't have to go through that. I'm like, no, I didn't. That was not part of my abuse. And again, just to be fair, I'm not just talking about my ex in this book, that he was abusive. Yes, he was abusive, but we also had those 80 good days and 20 bad days. But abuse is not just from spouses. You can get abuse from your father, your mother, your brothers, your children. It could be any kind of abuse. Anybody who controls your life and makes you afraid.
So, I mean, there's different abuse, isn't there? There's emotional, there's physical, there's sexual, there's mental.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? I mean, I was watching one of the Real Housewives shows. I mean, Sid, you got to admit to that too, right? And on on the reunion shows, I think the quote was, no, I'm not aggressive. I'm just sarcastic. So one of the other wives said that one of the husbands was cruel in the way that he spoke to his wife. So when does it go from being sarcastic and aggressive to suddenly it being abuse? Like, how does somebody recognize this?
When you're starting to be afraid of being around that person, afraid of them being in the room with you, or when you go somewhere you don't know what's going to happen and it's going to attack you, it makes you feel bad about yourself, that's abuse. Like a test I have in my book is, if you're at home and the garage door opens or the front door opens and you are... what is the feeling at that moment? If you're not happy to have to invite the person, have them come in and to welcome them, and you're afraid, like you're starting to pick up the things and telling the kids, hurry up, the dad's home or mom's home or whoever the abuser is. If that person comes home and you're afraid, like most people have garage doors, and just test it on yourself. Mm-hmm. If the garage door opens and if you're not happy, you're in abuse.
So your book, I'm flicking through it and I think it's amazing. You know, is somebody a pathological liar? Is he hard to please? Have you finally had enough? Loads of different, you know, Christy's story, Sheila's, Lisa's, Doug's story. I mean, this book is absolutely amazing for anybody that's going through this right now. And I would, you know, I'm just going to hold it up for everybody on Facebook Live and Instagram to see the cover.
It's available on Amazon.
Yeah.
Or you can call, you know, you can look up veramahajan.com and I can send you the book also.
So this really takes somebody through what other people have said no to, other people have been living with.
Does your book also help people to kind of reach out for the next stage, what they need to do next?
Actually, since writing that book, I did my master's in spiritual psychology in Santa Monica, and then I am a mediator with a graduate degree and master's in dispute resolution from Pepperdine Law School. So I'm a mediator and I'm a counselor, so that is after. If anybody needs, I do help that too.
I love the idea of spiritual psychology.
That's great.
Can you explain and elaborate that a bit more?
The best part about spiritual psychology that I learned was what was about me. You focus on yourself. Why was I there? Why did I do that? What was my role? And why, like, I used to think, okay, I got out of this. I'm free. And that was actually the reason why I wrote this book. If you read the tagline, unreported is because domestic abuse is unreported crime. And the tagline is learning to live free. And now all of a sudden I was divorced. I was free. And I'm like, how do I live free? I've never lived free. I was under my dad's control first. And then I was under my ex's control. And now what to do? Even though it's not like I didn't have a life, I still ran a business. I was educated. I was doing all that. I had children and running a home and all that. But there was still someone else's control who approved and not approved. So learning to live free was that. And now it's like, but why? Why did I have to go through that? What was wrong? Why was I made to go through that? And there is, in the spiritual psychology at the University of Santa Monica, at least they teach you, there is a purpose. There is a life curriculum. I had to learn that to be able to do what I'm doing now. So if I tell somebody, if someone comes to me for a mediation or a counseling, or if I tell someone, if I see them going through domestic abuse, and like I was just talking to your wife outside and say, like, you can't tell someone you should get out. But when I talk to someone and say, I've been through that, I have been through that. I can say what it feels because I know what it feels. So I had to go through that. And I didn't just go through domestic abuse as a wife. It's some people say, oh, I'm sorry when they hear it, but I'm okay with that. I've lived in abuse as a child, as a parent, as a daughter, seeing my mom go through that. Then I've gone through as a wife and as a mom, seeing my children go through that. So it's been like a boot camp training. I am an expert at domestic abuse. You talk to me, I can tell you yes.
So you know? when you finally broke free, mm-hmm. and you were brave enough to, come out about all this, and writing your book and talking with us on radio, you talk about your ex and you talk about your dad. How does that make you feel? Have you lost those relationships completely with your father and with your ex? Or can you now, if you're speaking about it, do you have any sort of relationship with them?
Yeah, because I'm not afraid anymore. I feel sometimes sad that they had those roles in my life to give me those experiences. I mean, if I want to go with the spiritual psychology, and if this was my role to learn about this so I can do a bigger good and use my experiences for a bigger purpose and help other people, it is so sad that those people had those roles to play in my life, to be my abusers, to teach me that thing.
How are they dealing with their own journey?
Well, my dad is not alive anymore. He died a couple years ago.
Sorry.
And again, my brothers cried. I have three brothers. And I still have not cried. And I tell my mom, and sometimes I feel weird, and I tell him, like, I didn't have a great relationship with him. I didn't talk to him regularly. And I used to really feel bad. Like, what have I done wrong? Why don't I have a relationship? He wasn't happy when I married my husband. He wasn't happy when I was divorcing him. There was no good reason to punish me for not marrying him. He was a great guy at the time. We were in love. And he was very supportive. He was literally, a best boyfriend, best father, best husband for the first few years. And then just things shifted and he almost became like my father. And now when my father knew the reasons I was divorcing, I had no support from them. And so now he's dead and I actually have a good reason why I don't talk to him. So there's no reason. If I can't cry, I can't cry. I'm not going to force myself to cry. I don't feel bad.
So, you know? Vera, when somebody is in a relationship, and may I say it can be a man and woman, it can be two men, two women.
Mm-hmm.
It could even be in a business relationship with somebody where one person is really goes crazy and you have to placate him and make him feel good so it doesn't happen again. When it's a relationship situation with a man and a woman or gay or whatever.
That's what I do in my mediations,
Where do they go? Is it battered women? Where you have to get out sometimes real quick when you feel so in such fear that you don't want to get beaten up anymore.
That's what people don't realize. In almost every city or whatever area you are, if you call and you check even Google or whatever, you will find a support center somewhere. People just don't think there is support, but there is support out there. And they will even find you pro bono lawyers. They will find you counselors, free counselors. There is enough support out there. Like, they'll even help you with the short-term stay shelter. Mm-hmm. I'm actually working and I am part of the board called it's called Safe Passage. It's out of Van Nuys. And they help women not only get out of their situations, then they are training about how to move to the next step, how to interview, how to get jobs. Even there's a coach who pro bono works and he teaches them karate and everything to just give them empowerment and their children. And then there's a annual show that they do where they acknowledge and congratulate and honor these women that went through the year. And my book is actually a mandatory reading in that group. Yes. And the lady who was the founder and owner of that, Trish Steele, she said that this is the first book she's found in all these years that covers everything. It's easy read. It's the best book on the subject. I just went to Boston a few weeks ago, and I met someone who told me they bought the book from Amazon, and they actually teach at schools, which are they call, what are the schools, which are for children that come from disadvantaged families, so they miss so much school and stuff, and now they're making up. So they actually read my chapters in my book and to teach them what abuse is. So what do you do with it? Because most people are not even aware what abuse is.
I have a quick question. Do you have any stories where there was a very abusive partner, where the relationship has managed to turn around through mediation, where the abuser's not abusing anymore? And can that be a successful, situation to happen?
Yes, definitely. And that's actually how I start my mediation sessions. First of all, both people have to agree just to mediate. That's the part of mediation, is you have to be a neutral facilitator. And I ask them, where are you right now? Do you wish to make this work? Or do you wish to separate and you've done, feel enough damage is done that you cannot be together? And then you work towards that and you negotiate your way through that and you find out what is the underlying factor. What is it that the need is? Like they say, the iceberg effect. You only see the problem visual just on top, which is maybe 10%, 20%. Rest, there's a huge problem which is not talked about.
Do you think that, I always believe that hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's in an abusive relationship, a lot of the time it's not the current situation, it's from childhood and the childhood issues that people have never brought up. Would you, being an expert, say that kind of is right or along the lines?
No, I wouldn't believe that hurt people hurt people. People who, I think, are hurt, the victims, because for some reason we give someone that control, we give that permission. If we don't give them consequences right away, then you're giving them little permissions. The more you stay in it, the other person says, wow, she's not leaving. My ex literally said that in the divorce. I thought you'd never leave, because no matter what kept happening, I'm still there. I was there for 14 years. Mm. And after when I first decided to leave, but then I had children and he had used this fear on me, I will make sure I use everything in my power that you'll never see your children. And I had two boys. For some reason, I stupid idea in my head that even if I got 50-50, I have two boys, he's going to take one. Which one would I leave? And I wasn't willing to let any one of my boys go, right? Wow. And so for some reason, I waited till my younger son was 18. And once that was done and my calendar was going down, he'll be, you know, four more years, one more year. And then I was like, done. He's almost 18. I have no reason. And he's still hurting him. He was actually hurting my son the day I said, that's it. I've been thinking of leaving you. And I don't think he knew that I was talking about, I've been thinking of leaving you for 14 years.
I just want to make sure that anybody that needs to read this gets a hold of this. Unreported is the name of the book, and Veera is spelled V-E-E-R-A, and the last name is Mahajan, M-A-H-A-J-A-N, through Amazon.
Yes.
Is there any bookstores that would have this?
I haven't really done a huge marketing on it, but it is, you can find it on my Facebook, or you can call me, email me.
Do you have an email that you
yes,
can give out?
Yes, it's V-E-E-R-A. At MalibuChronicle.com or V-E-E-R-A-I-S-I-T at gmail.com. It was my phase of divorce when I didn't want to write my last name for some reason. So it was like, Veera is it.
Veera is it.
Easy way to remember.
It is an incredible journey that you come from one state to another.
Yeah.
And you left your husband and your kids and your life.
Well, my kids are with me.
And
I didn't leave my kids.
No, okay.
It was for my kids.
And you have made a totally successful life here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure you hurt inside. We're all human.
Yeah.
But you sure are one strong woman to be able to help people.
Thank you.
In the same
Thank
position
you.
That you were in.
Thank you.
And if you can help one person, it's incredible.
Thank you. I wanted to finish the answer on your hurts, or what do you say?
It's a quote that goes around, hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. So an abuser will hurt someone because they've been hurt originally.
So I wanted to answer to that, and, you know, I didn't complete it, that was actually the reason I wanted to get out, because I was seeing my two boys growing up, and I did not want them to become abusers. I wanted them to see that there are consequences. And they both knew that we were living in that, even though they were telling me, why do you take this leave? And I wanted them to know, and I sometimes tease them now, you better be nice to your girls. She will leave one day. So if you show consequences, people can change. And if there are no consequences, you're giving them permission. So hurt people can also learn. So my boys were hurt. I'm hurt, but we're not abusing anybody. I'm a peace-loving girl.
That's beautiful.
And a peace bat.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. I just want to make sure that everybody knows here. Bob Gebert, you were going to be at the Magic Castle, you said maybe in
February.
February sometime.
Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to find out your schedule, they just call the Magic Castle, what would they do?
I guess find me on Facebook, Bob Gebert, G-E-B-E-R-T. Yeah,
okay, and you would have your schedule when you're going to be at the Magic Castle.
Yes, I'm sure it'll be at some point next year. I'm thinking it's going to be February-ish.
February-ish, okay.
Yes.
And I will say, Bob, you're one hell of an actor.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I want you to know that, and you're a good guy. You're a really good guy.
Very nice of you to say.
And Luis, should I say Luis or Luis?
Luis is fine.
Luis?
I've used to it since...
Okay. I'm going to say you have the patience like I've never seen. When people come to you and they ask you advice and they're all ask you a billion questions about money or whatever, you have such patience with people. I learned from that. It's amazing. Well, you're very, very – and you're from Florida.
Right.
You're from where in Florida?
Grew up in West Palm Beach.
West Palm Beach, okay.
Right.
And you're hitting the acting field as well, heavy – hard and heavy.
Heavy, heavy. We have actually a project we're going to do in January with the Frida Kahlo Theater. We don't have set dates yet, but it's going to be in January. It's a Spanish play. So I'm looking forward to doing that. So.
That's fantastic. And Liz, we will be missing you next Sunday.
Yes.
You will not be here.
I'm not. I'm going to Miss Universe.
Miss Universe. There we go. I want to say.
Sorry, Sid.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay. I just want everybody to tune in next Sunday, 6 to 7 o'clock at night every Sunday for the Sid Levine Show. This is Sid Levine. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Gobble, 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 gobble. Okay, everybody. Take care.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much, everybody here.
Happy Thanksgiving,
here.
Everyone.
All right, bye.
Power.
This show furnished by Sid Levine.